Hi, this is Evan from Music Industry Inns. If you have any questions or you have any suggestions or you want to do a podcast on this show, if you want to ask me any details, if you want to have me consult with you about any regions or any kind of things you want to do in your career, please get a hold of me at evan@musicindustryinns.net. That's evan@musicindustryinns.net. This podcast that you're listening to now, Kimberly, this is in Taiwan. She's lived in other places, and she's a bilingual artist, but she is a pop star. So this is a first-hand account of what it's like to be famous in the East Asian world. Please, you know, listen to it. Take what you can out of it. I just wanted to give a big shout out to Tower from China House, the record label, and Emma, Kimberly's manager. Thank you very much for letting me do this interview. Kimberly is a big pop star in Taiwan, so it was super nice of her to take her time and talk with me for you guys to, you know, understand how this all works. I'm going to leave this synopsis pretty short because all the meat, all the nutrients, let's say, is all in this conversation. But this is what it's like to be famous. Enjoy it.
Kimberly, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Kimberly. And yes, I am a singer who resides in Taiwan. And I was actually born in Australia, Melbourne. Okay. So yeah, that's a little bit about myself.
Okay, so you're born in, like, how old were you when you moved to Taiwan?
At the time I was 15.
Oh, you were 15. So you were born and raised, let's say, a lot, the majority of, right, your youth was in Australia.
Yes.
Okay, so what was the deciding factor to, like, was it like, did you, at 15 years old, how old were you when you started your music career? Let's start there.
Well, I actually started really young because as a kid, I really enjoyed dancing and singing and just performing in general. So as a kid, I was very lucky because my dad actually got me arranged with like an agent, so they would get me jobs, and I was able to sing and dance as a kid. I did Broadway when I was 10, and I did
Broadway in New York?
Or in Australia and in Shanghai for Disney's The Lion King. Yeah, that was really fun.
Okay.
And yeah, so I guess I started when I was really when I was really young, and then I moved to New York when I was around 11 because I was recruited by a Korean entertainment company. Wow. So I was able to get really amazing training when I was in New York. And I got to work with just really amazing people, whether it be dancing or singing. Yeah, and it was a really good, like, 4 years before I came to Taiwan. And I guess I came to Taiwan because when I was younger, my parents and I guess as Asians living abroad, you always suffer a little bit from identity crisis. And I guess for me, speaking English growing up, I've always wanted to, you know, sing English songs and kind of, like, do the whole, you know, Western thing. But because I guess 20 years ago, there was still, it was really hard to pursue that. And my parents thought, you know, if you want to pursue something like that, why don't you pursue it in Asia? It might be easier for you. You won't have to succumb to racism and all that type of thing. So, and at the time I was very young, and as a kid, you don't really know what you're doing. And I've always had such a good relationship with my parents. They've always done so much for me. So I thought, yeah, why not? Why don't we come to Taiwan and try it out? So my whole family packed up with me when I was 15, and we all moved to Taipei. And
that's, keep going. Yeah, so it's really interesting about, like, it sounds like, you know, you were like kind of like a child prodigy, let's say, like you started out very young, your parents took an interest in developing your career as well. So that's super interesting. And then you had experiences in, you know, growing up in Australia, you had experiences in the United States. And then it was, you know, it was decided upon like, hey, we should move your career back into Asia. Is that a good summary?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you about like, I have a number of questions that I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit based on the information that you feed me. When you were growing up, like, so, you know, being from an Asian background, but growing up in a Western society, can you tell me a little bit about your influences, you know, musically, or what kind of things inspired you? So from, you know, from an Asian perspective and also from living in a Western culture, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I love about music is that although, you know, there's a lot of diversity in the world, when it comes to music, it doesn't really choose you by color or whatever they say. And I feel like I was so lucky because one of my biggest inspirations is my dad. And when I was younger, he would always play such good music in the car when we were going from my dance lessons or my vocal lessons. And my one favorite was Whitney Houston.
Okay.
We loved listening to Whitney Houston. And another one that I really liked was Amy Winehouse. I think those two were very big for me. And then my dad had a very... he had a very big fondness of folk music. So I listened to a lot of Simon and Garfunkel. That's not really folk, but like of that genre. I listened to a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Okay.
And just very different stuff. It was a very broad kind of, my dad had very interesting musical tastes. So.
Well, he had like a more, like, you know, from his, obviously there's a generational gap there, but he listened to more of the stylings of his youth, I guess you would say. And, you know, you were also finding your way inside of pop culture at that time. Was there any significant artists from, you know, in Taiwan or in any of the Asian countries that really made an impact on you that you saw and you know, inspired you or influenced you in any sort of way?
Yeah, I feel like for me, because as a kid, I was very lucky. Like my mom would play me a lot of, you know, Chinese shows or Asian shows or Taiwanese shows. And it would just be a lot of culture stuff. And I really, really liked Jolin as a kid. And I still
do. Okay, yeah.
I think she's really amazing. I think she's so persistent. I think she's worked so hard at something that... didn't come to her easily, and I feel like she made so many sacrifices. So I really, really, I really look up to her ever since I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, I really look up to her. Yeah.
So what is, and let's talk about that. Like you know, you're talking about like, you know, pop culture. You're talking about, you know, the ethic, the work ethic behind that and these things. What does success mean to you as an artist? Like when you and let's just clear the slate here, like. You're a well-established, successful artist in your own right, as it is now. You know, right now, while we're speaking, you have gained a lot of, you have a huge fan base. So tell me about that. Like, what does success mean to you?
I feel like success is something, it's more of like a mindset. I feel like success is something that you have to keep achieving, and it's achieving within yourself. You know, I feel like one thing for me, it's not giving up. I feel like a lot of people give up too easily, and they don't understand that to achieve, you know, difficult things really takes a lot of time.
There's a major work ethic involved. Like people have to understand that this has to be taken seriously, and it has to be met. The challenges need to be met. Is that what you? Okay.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's journey is different, and I feel like time sometimes doesn't really matter. But to me, I just feel like I guess the way I was raised and the way I did it, or the way I really enjoyed doing it, was just putting a lot of time into what I thought was important, being like my craft, and really working hard. I feel like once you get comfortable and you think like, oh, I'm really good, or I don't need to try anymore, or, oh, I'm better than them. That kind of work ethic is really something you want to stay away from.
That's where you lose like your motivation, or maybe you lose the sight of why you started. And actually, I want to talk to you about, like, I understand that you know, I'm understanding now that you started at an early age, and I'm wondering what motivated that whole entire idea. Obviously there was a love for music. Your father was a music lover. You know, you started loving music, but it's more than that, right? Like people love music all over the world, but to really, you know, take what you did and then move with it, you know, into a professional career. Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, what were the deciding factors? Like, how did that work itself into you saying, this is what I'm doing with my life?
Well, I guess for me, this might sound really funny, but...
I like funny.
I don't know why, but as I was growing up, the main points for me, like the turning points where I made a decision, I really felt like I didn't know what I was doing in the moment.
Okay, that's super interesting. Yeah.
And I feel like there has been maybe three major turning points in my life for, you know, this career choice. And at the time, I didn't really know what was going on. I thought I did, but I didn't. Now that I look back, and maybe the first one was, you know, doing the whole going to America, going to New York, moving to New York, and completely, you know, just changing everything that I know, and just getting training again. And I feel like as a kid, everyone told me what was going on, and everyone was like, "Do you want to do this?" And I was like, "Yes," but I felt like, because I was so young and I was still growing up, I didn't really understand what was going on. As in, like, I didn't really understand this was the process in order. I didn't even understand how to, like, get a record out or to make, like, I didn't even know that there was, like, oh, I want to get a record deal kind of thing. It was never in my head.
Right. So love wasn't, love motivated you, but you still found a lot of challenges. Like, there was a lot of learning curve, let's say, in developing your actual career. You mentioned three things that kind of happened in your life where it kind of really solidified. And I really want to actually ask you about that. Like, what are three experiences you've had in your music career that have really either been the most special for you or solidified you to know, you know, who you are?
I feel like the first positive experience would have been performing in The Lion King, because I remember as a kid at the time, I think I was maybe 10, and I just remember it was a lot of work, but it was just so much fun. And I remember being on stage and just being with everybody on stage in that moment, and because, you know, Broadway is very out there, and especially a play like The Lion King, like a production like that, it's so big and it's just so vibrant and the energy is just there every night. So being surrounded by that, it's like, wow, I'm a part of this. And you don't even, at the time I didn't really feel like it was performing, but I just realized that I love doing this. It's so much fun and it's something that I would like to do over and over and over again in any circumstance. So I guess that was like a turning point for me as a child to know that this is what I'm really passionate about.
And that's such a professional, I mean, that's the top of, say, like, you know, professional theater, professional music and theater. You know, your first real big experience was like the top of the shelf kind of thing, you know, industry wise. Yeah. So that's super interesting in itself, how maybe that shaped a lot of the way that you know, your perspective or your motivation, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
Tell me about your second really key experience.
I think my second key experience would have been leaving New York and deciding to come to Taiwan. I think that's a really big thing because at the time I was 15, and that's like, you know, I'm starting to grow up. I'm starting to, like, you know, have my own opinions. And at the time I was a very rebellious teenager. And as a child, I was very, very well behaved. So when I got to being a teenager, it was more than just like, I was figuring out everything for myself. So pretty much my parents did say to me, like, you know, you have a choice now. We can either go back to Australia and you can go back to going to school and you can go to uni and you get a job and you can do whatever you want and we'll be in Australia. Or we can move to Taiwan and we can call up friends and see if we can, you know, get you an interview and you can meet some, you know, record label bosses and CEOs and executives and see how that goes.
Wow.
And I just, and at the time I didn't really know what that meant. I was like, what, why, like what are executives going to do for me? Like, am I like, what's going on? And my parents just said, like, you know, this is pretty much your last chance. You have to pick. You either go back to going to school or we're going to do this. And I thought going back to school would just be so unsatisfactory for me. I guess because I had not gone to school for such a long time and I'd been performing so much and I forgot maybe how to go to school. And I thought I would feel so out of place and I would feel so unhappy. So I should try. I should just keep doing whatever has to do with you know, singing and dancing and stuff. So I think my dad really helped me in that because he really leaned towards coming to Taiwan. He told me Taiwan is such a lovely place. He's been there. He has relatives here. It's just really nice. And the industry is just booming, you know, and all of his favorite singers are all Taiwanese. And it's just, he loves it. And he loves the humor. He loves the shows. He loves just the culture in Taiwan. And he said that, you know, you've never been there before, Kimberly, but you should go because you have no Asian-ness in you.
Okay.
And you need to be cultured. And I was like, oh, and he was like, I think you would really prefer it over anywhere else. And I was like, okay. So we came here and it was like, oh, culture shock for me. A big culture shock. Just being a very, you know, foreign kind of girl. And I couldn't speak a word of Mandarin. I never spoke Mandarin as a kid. So coming here was just, I felt like an alien.
Do you speak Mandarin now?
I do. Okay. I do after 10 years of learning. I do now. But at the time I didn't. So it was a very big change for me. But I feel like that was a very big turning key point because if I didn't pick, I might be in Melbourne right now. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I would be doing
astrophysics.
Something.
Yeah, you'd be doing something totally different.
Maybe I'd be a vet.
Okay.
That would be cool.
And like, I'm gonna dive into this a little bit before we go to the third experience. Did your dad work? Like, I'm gonna ask a little bit about the background here. Did your dad work in the music industry, or did your mom? Did they have any kind of connection in the entertainment industry?
So my dad was he had like a part-time job of doing like a lot of TV work and commercial work.
Okay.
And to make extra money before I was born, he would sing at weddings and he would do a lot of events.
Wow.
And I think it was because back in the day in Melbourne, there weren't a lot of Asian fellows that could speak. My dad was, you know, fluent in English. He had a very Australian accent and he had such a good personality. So he was just very, he was a very bubbly personality.
A character. He had a lot of charisma.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I guess like back in the day, and they still do it, but like they had very cute Asian stereotypes. And so he would do a lot of commercials for like, you know, knives and cool pots and crockery.
Okay.
It's very, yeah. So he had a lot of, opportunities. So he did know quite a lot of people and a lot of people knew him. So, yeah,
it sounds like he capitalized on the, you know, the differences or say the stereotypes. Like he actually made, like he really capitalized that. I mean, I know it can be really offensive with people and hurt people, but it sounds like your dad took it like, and he said, you know, if this is the way it is, I'm going to use it for my benefit. And I think that's amazing. You know?
Like, yeah. I feel like my dad is a very, very kind person that he didn't take it in a way that I'm very judgmental and critical. So when he told me, I'd be like, oh, it's really mocking the stereotype. But he said to me, like, you know, back in the day, he never really had that problem because everyone was so nice and he never had bad experiences. And he feels like I shouldn't take it in a negative way. And I was like, well, I mean, if that's how you feel, then and it's very interesting.
It is interesting because I think that the world is part of the thing that's changed a lot in the world is how the media is kind of conditioning us you know, in a way. And I think like, I think we're all getting really hypersensitive in a way, but and maybe we should in some regard, you know, and maybe sometimes it's too far, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. I think that society is evolving into something different than it was. And so for me, like my standpoint, like I've been living in Taiwan for on and off for 2.5 years. It's like my it's my base for Asia in the business I do out here. And I think there's definitely, you know, living in a more of a culturally homogenous country is, you know, it is a bit challenging, but it's also so insightful. You know, you get to know so much about the world through our differences. And I think, what about your third experience? Tell me about that.
I think my third experience would be kind of, I guess, releasing my first whatever I released, my album, I guess, my single.
And you're talking about like as a solo artist, yeah, breaking out on your own.
Right. Okay. Yes. I think that was a major key point because also at the time I did not know what was going on. And when I say that, I always feel like I'm never ready for anything. It always just creeps up on me and I'm like, holy gosh, like that just happened. And I guess as a kid, I never really planned anything in my mind. I never had like, you know, a nice clear list of goals and what I want to achieve. It was more just do it. Just do this and do that and do this and do what you're told to and do what you want. And just, I was just very focused on the doing part of everything. So I guess when my album came out, I didn't really take much notice. I was really tired from, you know, recording and filming things and just doing the whole promotion that I never really went to look at the results. I never really went to look at how many fans were following me on Facebook or Instagram. And it kind of just snuck up and I was so not ready because I guess my personality compared to the way that they prefer to do it in Asia is a little bit of conflict, just because they want you to be very well behaved and say all the right things and look a certain way and speak a certain way and sound a certain way. So I feel like at the time I hadn't really taught myself how to behave in that manner yet. So I was a little bit all over the place. I was drinking and smoking and partying and just having fun. And then all of a sudden they're like, you're an artist and you have to behave yourself. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And then I had to learn about it the hard way.
I want to kind of touch on that because that's something that's been kind of popping up in my conversations. And what that is, like I talked to a pretty famous rock band based out of Sweden and we kind of touched on the whole fact that, you know, things have changed. And the thing is, you know, the music industry used to be based on the bad boy image, you know, like guys with like, you know, all kinds of tattoos and how much drugs they did, or if they got into like gang violence, or, you know, if they got caught with a gun, you know, it was like all this sensational about like rebellious behavior and these kind of things. And the more like the music industry has really been evolving in this way that artists have to be a lot more, say, influential, not only in a societal way, you know, like it's like, and it actually works out better for them. Like it's really hard for someone who's, you know, drinking a lot or living this like quote unquote rock star life of like the 90s or so. It's really hard for them to get business deals anymore because people just don't want to deal with like mentally challenged. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like everyone's a lot more sensitive and well behaved now.
Yeah, it's definitely moving that way. And I think that's a cultural shift. And I mean, I think it's also, I don't know, I think kids are looking for something a lot more positive these days too. You know, like, I mean, it's so different than when I was a kid. That's all I'm saying. Like the guys I looked up to were like, you know, they were bad dudes and that led me to want to be a bad dude. You know what I mean? So it's culture, right? Music's culture. So,
right. Yeah, I agree.
What, tell me about your artistic interests, like yourself, like So you're talking about, like, you know, when you were first inspired, you were inspired by artists like Whitney Houston, like it sounds like, and, you know, we can travel down that road a bit, but does that evolve? Like where you're at now, say like you're going to be, if you're going to be recording new album or if you just did or new songs, what are you doing to prepare in that sense? Like, is it the influences you had long ago that are still affecting you? Or is there new and upcoming things that are inspiring you? And maybe it's not even music. Maybe it's something else. Like, can you talk a little bit about that?
I think recently, because I just finished a project of 6 songs for an EP, and it's my work from home EP, because as you know, Taiwan is in lockdown.
Right.
So we're all at home. Well, preferably all working from home. And I thought, to be, you know, productive, I should do something. But every time I tell myself to do something, I never end up doing it. So I kind of tricked myself and I just started to write stuff. And I realized, you know, with my last mixtape, I did over 30 songs, and they were just for fun. I feel it was more of like a genre, like clash. I had a lot of different things just like, you know, chucked in there. And that's the fun of a mixtape. But I guess for my EP this time, I wanted to have a certain sound and a certain feel to it. And all this time, I've always wanted to do something that's more, I guess, less pop. I've always been perceived as like a pop singer, and that's fun. But I feel like for me, music has always been so, I guess, very, the categories that I like or the genres that I like of music, they're just so broad and so different. I think they just suit different phases of my life. When I was younger, I really enjoyed alternative indie music when I was, you know, in my teen years. And then evolving from that, I liked EDM for a while. And then I started to get back into hip hop and R&B. And that's when I realized now that I feel like I've picked, or like I know what I like the most now. And I think that really derives from what I liked as a kid or what I listened to and grew up on. And yeah, just like you said, when I was a kid, all the artists that I look up to, their music was amazing, but they had crazy, crazy lives.
Right.
and they're not around anymore, which is really sad.
Exactly.
They're not around. So they have evolved, I feel like, in other people's music, which has inspired me too. You know, okay. I'm a very big fan of like Daniel Caesar and Snow Allegra and Georgia Smith. I really like soulful R&B music. And I feel like for this project, it was because I figured that out. Figured out what I like the most and how it makes, I guess it feels very close to home. It feels like home when I hear stuff like that. And I felt like I wanted to make something that feels close to home for me. And it came very naturally. It wasn't like I sat down and I was like, oh, I want to write songs that feel like this. It just happened. It happened because I was listening to a lot of music. It happened because I happened to listen to a lot of music that sounded really, really good. And I was like, oh, feeling this.
It sounds like your heart inspires you a lot. Like the content that comes into, if you enjoy it, or, you know, if you, it's well received, it sounds like your heart really adds to where you're taking your music. It sounds like, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a very in the moment type of person. So when I hear something that I really like, you know, something moves inside of me and I feel like, oh, I would love to kind of make people feel like the way I'm feeling right now about something.
And that's kind of where I want to direct this to, is like, you know, we can, when it comes to art, things can happen in a way that are, say, spontaneous. Sometimes there's themes involved. Sometimes things are purposeful. And when you say that you're more of a, you know, in the moment type of person, I'm thinking that means like you're also more of a spontaneous person in that regard. Yeah. Would you say that there's any types of particular themes in your music or anything that you want, like people who listen to you, is there anything that you'd like for them to understand about it, or to how they should identify with you in any way?
I feel like with my music or what I've been writing recently, I feel like everyone goes through different types of, I guess everyone's just going through something. And I really love how, some artists don't, but I really love how one song can be relatable to lots and lots and lots of people. And that's what I like about music, because I feel like that's what makes us human. And that's what makes us all connected in some way. And that's how we feel about things. So I feel like I hope that it's relatable enough for people to feel, you know, feel something.
Emotionally, to kind of,
yes,
to kind of take it with them. Now, let me just touch on your career a little bit itself. So now I'm gonna ask these questions from a blank slate. I don't, you know, I'm meeting you today. For a new person that's listening to this, let's say, and learning about you right now, your career. So is it developing in Taiwan? Is it developing internationally? Is there certain countries that you're looking at exploring? Like, tell me a little bit about the ethos, about where you are career-wise. Like, is it situated in Taiwan, or is it other places? Let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah, well, I feel for the past 10 years, it has been situated and based in Taiwan. And I feel like it's grown a really good foundation and base for me. And I guess if I was going to give myself a 10-year kind of 10-year kind of plan. From when I was very young and when I lived in New York, I've always wanted to be a crossover artist. And I feel like now that we're in the 2020s, I feel like there is a lot of window open for opportunity. And I hope that I can get on that boat of opportunity. So I guess if there's any boats, I'm going to be trying to jump on that.
And are you looking, is it like collaborations interesting for you? Like to collaborate with artists in different countries and such? Okay.
Definitely. Yes. Recently I've had a couple of collaborations with other countries. And I think that's really awesome because, you know, you can really get a feel of what they're going through and how their music is made. And, you know, like everyone does it slightly differently. So it's great to like absorb, you know, different cultures and stuff. And, I feel like collaborations would be awesome. I love to just reach out to people, like DM them and be like, hey.
Hey, what's up?
I really like your stuff. And I mean, like, if I'm lucky enough and I get a reply, then sure, definitely that would be amazing.
So the world is open to you. Like, you don't necessarily want to be big in any particular place. You're kind of just looking for something to happen or experiences. Is that fair to say that? Or is there like particular countries you'd like to get big in?
Big in. I feel like it's more about the people.
Okay.
Is that they're in? Yeah. Obviously, I feel for any singer or any artist to get big anywhere is something of an achievement. And
of course,
I feel like if I'm able to achieve, I guess for me, like honestly, because I've always I've always, you know, thought in English and written in English, and just everything for me, you know, I my brain is, you know, functioning in English. So I feel like if I can I guess the next chapter in my life, if I'm able to do like most of my music in English, that would be awesome too.
And when you talked about crossover, like, do you mean crossover as in like you want to experiment with a totally different genre, or you want to be a mixed genre artist? Like, what do you mean by that exactly?
Oh, I mean crossover as in like, I feel like in the Western world, Asian artists are slowly starting to come up, and I would like to be a part of that crossover.
Well, I'd like to see that too, because I actually had a conversation with a guy he's quite a well-known guy in the Taiwan music industry. And what we talked about, he's like, he identified to me there hasn't really been a breakout artist from Taiwan yet, you know, that has kind of gotten internationally famous. I didn't know that, you know, so I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't know that someone had, like, you know, gotten famous in Taiwan or China or, say, Singapore or these countries, but hasn't, like, globally. And the thing is, too, the later the time goes on now with how all these mediums of the way the industry works, it's going to get harder and harder to become a global artist anymore anyways, right? Like, you kind of, everyone's getting famous in your own world, I guess, kind of thing. So, let's talk about your career in this aspect. I'm going to wrap this up here. You know, thanks a lot for joining me and, you know, talking to me about.
No, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Do you have any advice for independent musicians coming up? Like, is there any strategies or types of advice that you think would help, like, just your average artist that's starting out or is midway through their career? They're not finding that success. Like, is there anything you can say to those people?
I feel like a very blunt tip would to be, the more you put out, and when I say more, I mean like your songs, your product, the more you put out, the higher the possibility or chance someone is going to hear it and like it, or hear it and not like it. And I mean, like, that's okay too, because the point is to be heard at the beginning. So I feel like try to not be so picky about what you release and just be very generous with your stuff. I feel like people need to get to know you, especially if you're a new artist. And what better way to get to know you by than your music, you know? And I feel like when people can get to know you by your music and you put out lots of stuff, it's just a lot easier for people to, you know, like you and start following you and support you.
Okay, so that's a strategy in its way. Like, you're saying, hey, like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of making mistakes, maybe. Like, get as much stuff out there as you can. Like, you know, keep producing stuff so that something might pop. Something might happen.
Yeah, you don't know. You will never know, because, you know, the public has such... It's all about timing. It's all about luck. And it's all about, you know, what people are feeling at the time. And the one song that you might think that people might not like, they might just love it.
Right. And do you follow that philosophy? Like, now that you have a major following, you have a team with you that, you know, helps you with your music. Like, you have you're sitting in, you know, if an independent musician is, say, riding the bus, you're kind of like driving in a Ferrari comparably, let's say. So do you still practice this same philosophy of, like, content, even though you have this big following?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I feel like for a while in my career, before I came over to China House, I had a drought of content. I just didn't have any content, and it was all about work and making money. And after I joined China House, they made me realize that I am able to just, you know, do what I love and just create stuff without limitations and without being, you know, kind of pressured into doing certain things that I don't want to do. And after that, I just realized I'm just so lucky, and I'm just so privileged to be able to just make stuff and just put it out there and just see how it goes. I realized with the really big companies, which I've been in too, and they have their pros too. They have everyone and everywhere has their pros and cons. But I feel like with the bigger record companies, you could only maybe release an album every year, every 1.5 years.
Okay, but, so you have a lot of artistic movement. So you're...
Right.
Yeah.
When you're an independent artist, you could release stuff weekly.
Mm.
And it's just... I feel like it's just if you want to, of course.
If you have that drive or creativity, right?
Right, and you don't have to be limit. You don't have to be said. You won't have to be told, like, oh, you know, you've already released an album this year, so you're gonna have to wait. Too much. Like, right. Have you ever heard a fan say, "Oh, John Mayer has too much music," or
right.
I don't know, Billie Eilish has too much of it. I don't think anyone says Rihanna has too many albums. Like, stop it with them.
And I think that's the change in the industry too, like because of technology. I remember when, like when I was listening to music, say like, you know, I'll just bring up a band because I know it right off the top of my head, Metallica, you know, they would take 5 years between an album, like 5 years. So, but the thing is like you, there was no internet, right? People weren't sharing whatever, like the industry was so choked. It was like a chokehold that mega corporations had on the entertainment industry. So it's just such a different way of understanding the world. So I think that what you're saying is actually super important. It's super prevalent and it is part of the new world. Like, you know, get it out there, get it out there, get it out there. You know, if you have it, get it out. So.
Get it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, thanks a lot, Kimberly. It's been a really nice, it's been a pleasure to meet you and to talk to you. And I'll definitely be letting you guys know when I'll be posting this stuff. And thanks very much. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you so much for having me. And stay safe during this lockdown.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay. Have a lovely day. Bye.
See you.